This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. And Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you've given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. And so now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I've made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. And they were yours, and you have given them to me, and they have kept your word. And now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I'm asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you've given me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I'm no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name, them that you've given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord. And so, Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we pray that we would hear not just the words of men, but the words of God. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to take as my text this morning, or primarily as we begin, a part of that text from Acts chapter 1. In particular, verses 6 through 11, if you're making use of the Pew Bible, you can find that text on page 1080. Acts chapter 1 and beginning at verse 6. And just so it's fresh in our minds, I'd like to read that again. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. And Luke writes, and so when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when Jesus had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. This morning I want to talk about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, the ascension of Jesus is one of the major events in the life of Jesus, and the church commemorates it annually. Indeed, last Thursday, if you know it or not, was Ascension Day. Indeed, Ascension Day comes 40 days after Easter, Easter Day, which of course is always on a Sunday. And so Ascension Day is always on a Thursday. And last Thursday was Ascension Day. And so today, as noted earlier, today is the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Sunday after Ascension Day. And so this morning I want to talk about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing I'd like us to consider is the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ described. the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ described. Indeed, but Luke describes the ascension in our text from Acts chapter 1, even as he does, by the way, in the 24th chapter of his gospel, which we know is the gospel of Luke. But notice again our text beginning at verse 6. And so when they had come together, Luke says, that is, and as we have it described for us in the first chapter of Acts, that's Jesus. They came together, Jesus and his apostles. And there were others there, as Femi read, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and the other women that supported Jesus' ministry. And then there were still others from whom you may recall, if you've ever read the first chapter of Acts, from whom the replacement for Judas was taken. In fact, Peter said, you know, Judas went onto his own place and we need to replace him. And the qualifications for replacement at the very most basic level was that they had been with the apostolic band and with Jesus from the time of his baptism until the time of his ascension. And then the when, it says, right? And when they had come together, as mentioned in verse 6, seems to be the day that Jesus ascended. And the location, if you like. I mean, it was the last day, the last of the 40 days that he was with them, the day that he ascended. And where was the location? The location is just one verse beyond our text in verse 12. And the location is identified as the Mount of Olives, which is just east of Jerusalem, indeed very close, within walking distance of the Mount of Olives. And so verse 6, Luke writes, and when they had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time now restore the kingdom to Israel? That is to say, okay, good. So now, Lord, are you going to throw the Romans out and reestablish national Jewish sovereignty? But notice Jesus' response in verse 7. Jesus says to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Verse 8, but I'll tell you this. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And this outpouring of the Spirit, you may be familiar with it, would come 10 days later on the Feast of Pentecost, which is an event that we will celebrate next Sunday. And thus would begin the spread of the gospel as Jesus describes it, and even as the book of Acts records it. But that's a story for another day. Because our focus today is on what happens next. Notice verse 9, and when Jesus had said these things to the disciples, and as they were looking on, he was lifted up. He ascended, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now, perhaps this wasn't merely a rain cloud, a cloud like we're familiar with, that took Jesus out of their sight. Perhaps this cloud is referring to the glory of God. In fact, the cloud is often associated with the glory of God and the presence of God. In fact, you're familiar with that, even if you don't automatically remember. You may remember, however, the transfiguration event when Jesus was transfigured on what we suppose was Mount Hermon. And Jesus was transformed, transfigured, and appeared with Moses, the great lawgiver, and Elijah, the great prophet. And Peter and James and John were the only three of the 12 apostles that were with him on that particular occasion, as he often took them on special outings. And Peter, who was very vocal, and he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. We can make one shelter for you and one shelter for Elijah and one shelter for Moses. And then we come to Luke chapter 9 and verse 34. And it says, and as Peter was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And you remember as the story goes on, and as they told it, in fact, Peter makes reference to this in his second letter. He said, we didn't follow cunningly devised myths when we made known to you the glory that we saw, the glory of Christ on the holy mountain. But the next thing that happens is that out of the cloud comes the voice of the Father who says, this is my beloved Son with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him. But it was a cloud. Or perhaps when God revealed his special presence for the first time in the temple at Jerusalem during the reign of King Solomon. In 2 Chronicles 5, beginning at verse 13, and we read, and the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. But be that as it may, whether it was a rain cloud or the Shekinah glory of God, as sometimes it's referred to, Luke says, and when Jesus had said these things, as the disciples were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. Now one might understandably ask, and so where did he go? Interestingly enough, the Apostle Peter covers that subject on his great Pentecost sermon. And so a chapter later in Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 32, and Peter is preaching to the crowd and he says, this Jesus God raised up, what, from the dead. And of that we're all witnesses. Being therefore exalted to the right hand of God, that's where he is. And therefore being exalted at the right hand of God. For David, King David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says in Psalm 110, the Lord said to my Lord, Yahweh God said to my Messiah, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And so Luke says, and when Jesus had said these things, as his disciples were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And Luke continues in verse 10, and while they were still gazing into heaven as he went, which I sometimes thought, well, maybe the angels are right that that's kind of a silly thing to do. And then I thought, that's probably the thing that I would do. Like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And while they were gazing into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Now, interestingly enough, the same thing happened at the empty tomb, you may recall, following Jesus' resurrection. In Luke chapter 24, and beginning at verse 4, and the women, you remember, had prepared spices, and they weren't able to get it all done before the Sabbath began on Friday night. And so they came back early Sunday morning to finish work. And what did they find? But the stone rolled away. And of course, they're wondering where Jesus' body is. Luke chapter 24 and verse 4. And behold, two men stood in dazzling apparel. And the men said to the women, why are you seeking the living among the dead? And so Luke says, verse 10 of our text, and while they were still gazing up into heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by in white robes, verse 11, and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up to heaven? For this Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Which made me think of something that John wrote in what we know as the Revelation of John. And John was there, and he saw all these things. But he wrote this, Revelation chapter 1 and 7, and behold, he's coming with the clouds. That's what the angels said would happen. And behold, he's coming with the clouds, and everyone will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. And so that's the first thing, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ described. But secondly, what about the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ applied? applied, right? I mean, what difference does it make? What does the ascension of Jesus Christ have to do with me? Well, if you happen to be a believer in Jesus Christ, the ascension of Jesus has a great deal to do with you. And that not only with regards to its implications relative to your spiritual union with Christ. In fact, if you're a believer in Christ, you've been born again, you are spiritually united with him. In fact, that's a phrase and an idea that the Apostle Paul repeats over and over. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Some of your favorite references that you have as memory verses have this idea, right? Now, in Christ, there is no condemnation, or there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Those who are spiritually united with Christ, there's no judgment because they're spiritually united with him. And so when the Father sees them, he sees them in the Son with whom he's well pleased, and there's no judgment. And as it relates to the ascension, well, and union with Christ. When he died, you died. And when he rose, you rose. And when he ascended, you ascended. And the ascension of Jesus has a great deal to do with us, and in particular, even how we live our lives presently in the here and now. In fact, I want to do something I don't usually do. I want you to turn to another passage. And we won't be there long, but I want you to turn there. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. In fact, if you're making use of the Pew Bible, the text is on page 1169. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. I want you to notice that with me. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. To see the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ applied. Notice. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 1. And Paul says to the believers at Colossae, if then you have been raised with Christ in resurrection, seek those things that are above. Why? Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died. You died with him. You rose with him. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. And so Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, and you have, he's assuming first class condition in the Greek. You rose with him, and so you have been raised with him. And he says, and if this is true, then seek those things. I mean, that's an interesting idea. What are you seeking most in life? If you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And he says, and set your mind, set your focus on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Set your mind on things that will last, not on things that are wasting away. Like Max Lucado said, whether you live to be 9 or 90, life is short, but the kingdom of God lasts forever. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ, hidden with the ascended Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, when he comes with the clouds, just like he left with the clouds, and when Christ, who is your life, appears, because he's coming back just the way he left, then you also will appear with him in glory. In fact, John wrote about that in his first letter, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know this, that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he truly is. And so the ascension of Jesus Christ matters. Indeed, it matters a great deal, and not just for Jesus, but for us as well. Amen? Amen. The ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. There's a very challenging verse, Lord, that Paul wrote and to the believers in Ephesus, that your life might be worthy, living your life worthy or equal to the gospel of Jesus Christ, living a life that is guided by and directed by and formed by these truths. And this is an example of it. It's not just that he died, we died with him. It's not just that he rose, we rose with him. He's the first fruit of them that slept. And as he rose, so we shall also rise. And his rising from the dead is proof of that. It made all the apostles fearless as it applied to death. And so when they were challenged and they were told by the same authorities that put Jesus to death to stop speaking and healing in the name of Jesus, they said, whether it's right in your eyes or not to obey you or God, we can't keep silent about the things we've seen and heard. And then they went to their own deaths, knowing that what they had to say was true. And so, Lord, help us to frame our lives around those things, not on things that are passing away, but things that are true and things that will never pass away. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.